Earth, sky.
So while we may be more familiar with tailpipe emissions, addressing emissions from clearing and burning tropical rainforest, in particular to expand agricultural production, is just as important.
You are listening to Doug Morton, a scientist at the NASA Goddard Space Flight Center, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. Dr. Morton uses Landsat, a NASA satellite, to track tropical deforestation from space. He said research using Landsat and other satellites is being used in early December 2010 in negotiations for a new climate treaty at the UN Climate Change Conference in Cancun. He spoke with Earth Sky's Lindsay Patterson.
So your work addresses a UN plan that's being negotiated right now called RED. What is RED and why is it important?
RED refers to an effort to reduce emissions from deforestation and forest degradation. So that's R-E-D-D. And it broadly encompasses a set of goals where countries will be able to receive compensation, most likely through a carbon market, for efforts that they can demonstrate to reduce these emissions that are coming from primarily from agricultural expansion in areas of tropical forest in their countries. It's really one of the areas of new negotiations for the UN climate change related agreements. RED is also now known as RED Plus, and the plus refers to the goal to enhance forest carbon stocks, essentially trying to incentivize countries to take actions to conserve tropical forests, to enhance the carbon stocks in those tropical forests, and to promote things like sustainable forest management that would allow tropical forests to maintain their benefits for mitigating climate change.
This is basically an incentives package to help countries that have tropical forests to stop cutting them down for agriculture.
That's right. The idea is that if deforestation and forest degradation are largely driven by market forces, then a market force that allows countries to receive compensation and put those energies and monies towards land uses and other activities, economically speaking, that would put less pressure on the remaining tropical forests on the globe.
So you study tropical deforestation. Can you explain what it is and why it matters in a global sense?
Sure. Deforestation refers to the practice of clearing tropical rainforest and converting it to other land uses, and that's most often for agriculture. The reason we're so focused on the tropics right now is because the agricultural expansion in temperate regions has largely stopped. We already use the best available cropland in temperate countries. So many of the remaining areas on the globe that could be suitable to expand cattle ranching or production of grains, even biofuels, are currently covered by tropical forest. And this debate over tropical deforestation really centers on one trade-off, and that is the value of new agricultural land and the value of standing tropical forests. Tropical forests provide many benefits. Two that we talk about a lot are biodiversity and carbon. Most deforestation in the tropics involves burning. So when you burn the wood, the carbon is released very quickly in the form of carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases. Any carbon that's left, or wood that's left on site, will then decay over time, and the carbon will still be lost back to the atmosphere. But this is a process that proceeds more slowly than piling up the wood in a cleared tropical forest site and burning it.
How does carbon dioxide emissions from forests compare to other sources of emissions?
Our research suggests that deforestation contributes about 12% of all greenhouse gas emissions from human activity. For comparison, that's the same amount of emissions as from all the world's cars, trucks, buses, and airplanes combined. Only the energy sector generates more greenhouse gas emissions than deforestation and forest degradation. So while we may be more familiar with tailpipe emissions, addressing emissions from clearing and burning tropical rainforest, in particular to expand agricultural production, is just as important.
And so you use a satellite called Landsat. How do you use Landsat to study tropical deforestation?
The study of tropical deforestation really requires satellite data. It's just not practical to try to look at large areas of remote tropical forest with anything other than the satellite perspective. I use Landsat in my research because of essentially two major advantages from the Landsat sensors compared to other types of satellite data. The first is that the spatial resolution of Landsat is pretty ideal for mapping changes in forest cover. Each pixel in a Landsat image is about 1/4 acre, and this is a very similar size to the way in which land is managed. The second advantage of the Landsat series is that with its first launch in 1972, we now have almost 40 years of data to follow the changes in forest cover and the changes in land use globally. But in this case, I focus mostly on the tropics.
Can you describe what it looks like when you're studying these Landsat images to see areas of tropical forests that have been deforested?
I use time series of Landsat data. Essentially, that means I take one satellite image each year, and I stack those up to look at the way in which an area changes through time. And so the goal of my work is to look at how and when areas are cleared, how long they're used for agriculture, and then if they're abandoned, do they return back to secondary forest at some later time? The unique thing about tropical forests in particular is that they're able to maintain green canopies even during the dry season. And so what just stands out to us when we look through the Landsat imagery is the fact that while grasslands and croplands may brown down, the leaves and crop plants will senesce during the dry season, tropical forests maintain a green cover. And so that's how we're able to look at an individual Landsat image and identify the areas of tropical forest versus other kinds of land cover types. As we look at those images one after another, we can follow the patterns of use and abandonment that have occurred over the last 40 years.
Can you describe the role that Landsat plays when you're negotiating for RED?
To my knowledge, this is the first time we're talking about negotiating an international agreement that's fundamentally based on our ability to use the satellite data. So in this case, the discussions around RED Plus are focusing on being able to estimate the rates of changes in forest cover in a past period up until the present day. And the goal would be then to follow through time as we go forward whether countries are able to reduce their rates of deforestation and degradation, or whether or not deforestation proceeds at a rate faster than in previous decades. The satellite data are really the fundamental underpinning for this kind of a negotiation, because fundamentally we have to be able to know whether the rates of forest changes have increased or decreased compared to past periods. And that's where the Landsat archive comes into play. With 40 years of data to examine, we have a much better understanding of the way forest cover has changed in the past and the way it will change as we continue to monitor it going forward.
What's the most important thing you want our listeners to know about your work with Landsat and tropical deforestation?
A lot of my research focuses on the global carbon cycle. But in recent years, there's been a crossover of the work that I do strictly in a scientific sense into the policy world. And I think that's actually very important. The unique thing about the satellite perspective is it adds an additional amount of transparency to the kinds of discussions we're having in the policy debates today. Because we can go back to the satellite data. They provide a validation and a historical record of what's going on in tropical forest regions.
You've been listening to Doug Morton, a physical scientist at NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center in Greenbelt, Maryland. Our thanks today to the NASA and USGS Landsat program, creating an unparalleled record of Earth's changing landscapes. To subscribe to this and other free science interview podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Deborah Bird. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.